I absorb my community and transcribe the view to me in the songs that inspire mutiny. Brown and black unity is necessary for growth. I raise my glass for a toast. Matter of fact, raise my fist for ancestors and ghosts. No longer in the physical, but yo, they spirits are close. So when the revolution pops, you know I'll be chucking rocks. Scarf around my face, steady aim, beaming cops, pushing through the tear gas, hoping they pistols rock. Today the blood of the wretched will fucking stain these ghetto blocks. The metal sparks.
Hello and welcome to Radio 23 de Septiembre. That was Fed Up by the Welfare Poets off the Warn Them album. This is the first episode of Radio 23 de Septiembre. Radio 26 de Septiembre is a podcast. You can find us on Radio 23 SEPT.com. This is a project of the New York Junta of the Puerto Rican Nationalist Party. Radio 23 de Septiembre will be podcasting information and interviews relevant to Puerto Rico's struggle and the struggle of the diaspora. Today, March 1st, is an important day in the history for Puerto Rico's struggle for independence, the day of the armed protest at the House of Congress by Lolita Lebrón, Rafael Quince Miranda, Erin Flores, and Andre Figueroa Cordero. Our first show will be with Don Rafael Quince Miranda, lifetime activist for the struggle for Puerto Rico's independence and former political prisoner and a participant in the armed protest at the House of Congress. We have Don Rafa on the phone right now. Saludos, Don Rafa.
Un honor para mí que ser el primero en estrenar contigo tu nuevo programa. It is an honor for me. I give you my thanks for counting with me. Gracias, Camilo, por contar conmigo para tu programa.
Gracias a usted. Don Rafa, today was the armed protest at the House of Congress. Can you tell us the importance of this event and why it was necessary?
Yeah, it was necessary. Remember, I talk very easily in Spanish, but in English, kind of hard for me to talk, but I will try. Well, it was necessary. Up to 1953, Puerto Rico was in a committee of colony, dependent territory at the UN. The United States want to take us from that committee, sacarnos de ese comité, because while we were in the committee, they had to report to the UN every year about Puerto Rico, and they don't want to do that no more. So they went to the General Assembly saying that we Puerto Rican in 1952 decided of our own, there was three people, decided for el Estado Libre Asociado, and that they don't have to keep reporting to the UN about Puerto Rico. That was a lie. Eso era un fraude. We nationalists there, led by Julio Pinto Gandia, and the Independentista Party, led by Gilberto Concepción de Gracia, we were there at the UN, telling the whole world that they were being deceived, que los estaban engañando. Anyway, because they had the political power and the military power and the economic power, the UN agreed 26 to 16 votes at their favor, and 18 did not go to vote. So it was necessary for us to tell the whole world, including the United Nations, that they were deceiving the people, that it was a lie, Puerto Rico was still a colony, that it was not true, that in 1952 we did not change nothing but the name. See, and Puerto Rico was still a colony. So we decided to do an armed demonstration at Washington to call the attention of the whole world about the Puerto Rican reality. That was the reason we went to Washington. Everybody knows that we are a colony in the United States in 1898. Before July 25th, they bombarded Puerto Rico from high sea, killing many Puerto Ricans in May 12, 1898, killing many Puerto Ricans, including children. And then, later months, they invade my country. We have been a militarily occupied country since 1898. We have been kidnapped as a country by the United States power. So we've been fighting for our right to be free, for our independence. And that was the reason that we went to Washington, March 1st, 1954. Morale. Excuse me, my English. You know Spanish speaking. You still there, Camilo?
Yes, I'm here.
I hope you understand my English.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay. Only for you and my people, and those in solidarity, I talk English. Otherwise, they have to learn my Spanish.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. In 1979, you were released by a pardon. There was a struggle
No, pardon, Camilo. Don't use that word. We never asked for pardon, and we would have not come out of prison as pardon.
Yeah.
No, we never asked for a pardon. We don't even accept condition on our release. It was unconditional release.
Yeah.
We never asked for no pardon whatsoever. It was a commutation of sentence. That was it, but we had never, not Lolita, not Irving, not Andres, not Oscar, not myself, ever asked for a pardon. We would have not accepted, because they are the ones who have to ask for forgiveness, for pardon, because they are the ones who invade my country. So, no, it was not a pardon, it was a commutation sentence, commutación de la llamada pena. Nunca pedimos perdón, jamás. Quiero que eso quede claro, nunca. Si no hubiéramos salido 4 años antes, we would have been released 4 years before. If we accept condition or we are for the pardon. But we know we came out free, completely free, with no pardon whatsoever.
But there was a struggle that got to the point where it forced the United States to release.
Correct. When they thought it was convenient for them to release us because the pressure of the people.
Can you talk about that struggle? Because right now we're in the same thing where we're trying to get Carlos Alberto Torres and Oscar Lopez released.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the importance of that struggle?
Well, it took a few years. There was committee in Puerto Rico, United States, in Cuba, in many other countries, in campaign for our release. Even the Committee of Decolonization of the United Nations passed a resolution asking for our unconditional release, made a clear unconditional release. See, and in Chicago, there were a lot of brother and sister in a campaign. In New York, there was a lot of brother and sister in camp.
Hello?
Community.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
No, it had cut off. Keep on.
Yeah. There was people everywhere. In a campaign for our release, like we are now for Carlos Alberto and Oscar and Avelino, for the three of them. I know that they did, le hicieron una trampa a Carlos Alberto. They tricked Carlos Alberto saying that he has a knife, and that was a lie. They tried to do the same to me when the campaign for the nationalist, they said that the lawyer, Michael Dodge, brought a gun to me in prison, and that was a lie. He never brought to me even a little stone or nothing. But that way they tried to create a situation so that the people keep Carlos Alberto in prison. Una campaña para desacreditar la campaña por la libertad de Carlos Alberto y de Oscar y de Avelino. Si no salgo claro, if I'm not too clear, you ask me, because my English is not too...
No.
I learned most of my English in Alcatraz, in Leavenworth, in Marion Prison, in Tallahassee Prison, in the tombs. That way I learned most of my English.
Can you speak real quick? Because I'm sure Carlos and Oscar are going, and Avelino are going through the same thing. The struggle it is in prison, the oppression... And the things that happen in prison to try to break our hero spirits.
Well, in my case, they 7 of them, 7 de ellos, while the trial in New York, 7 of them jumped at me, 7 police from the Bronx prison, and bust my mouth, all my teeth. Trying to break the spirit. They also sent me to Alcatraz for 6 years, straight from court.
Yeah.
You know, because after they, después que nos enjuiciaron, en Washington, nos llevaron a Nueva York a otro juicio y nos dieron 6 años más. Ahí nos tuvieron en la prisión del Bronx, en la tumba, Westchester, West Street. And from there, they took me straight to Alcatraz for 6 years. Then they sent me to Leavenworth Prison for 10 years. I was there until there was a strike. They abused for some of the prisoners. There was a prison strike. They say I organized it. So they put me in solitary confinement for 5 months. Eating from the floor, etc. Then they chained me and sent me to Marion Prison. Marion was the super maxima prison after they closed Alcatraz. They kept me 9 years in Marion. And 18 months, they put me in a program, behavior modification program, that they use drug tourists in Valium. If I don't work, they bring the brute force to try to break the spirit of the prisoner. So finally, thanks to the people, we came out in September 12, 1979. Thanks to the people. Thanks to your daddy, too. He was part of that campaign for our relief from prison, unconditional relief, no pardon whatsoever. They are the ones who have to have forgiven it from us, not from them. I want to make that straight. I have the right to fight for independence of my people. Yeah. I have that right. No.
In terms of the struggle for independence, what's the situation in Puerto Rico today?
Well, they control everything in Puerto Rico. They control our foreign relations, our economy, and the immigration. They control everything in Puerto Rico. And they take away from Puerto Rico to 54,000 millions a year. Then they send 5 or 6 billions. And we're supposed to give them thanks. They exploit my people. And they use our young people for the war. What the hell are we doing in Iraq? More than 100 young Puerto Ricans die in Iraq. What the hell are we doing there? Iraqi people have done nothing wrong to us. They use in Vietnam. They use in Korea. That was the first time I went to prison from 49 to 51. They want me to go into their army. I refused. So they give me 2 years and a day, took me straight from high school and sent me to a prison in Florida, Tallahassee. So what do we wanted to fight? Let's fight for our own country, for our own people. Not keep killing other people that have done no wrong to us. Like in Afghanistan, what they have done to us. Let the Cheney and Bush go there. And this Obama, go there. You know, they send in Puerto Rican and black poor people there and so forth and so on. You know, but the situation is that they control everything in my country. Right now we are in crisis, which forced many Puerto Ricans to go to the ghettos of New York. They have to go away from our country, but they come into our country, taking our country away from us. This is our home. If we lose Puerto Rico, we lose our home, because this is our homeland. United States, the whole land of the Anglo-Saxon, was the one who controlled the United States. Puerto Rico is my homeland, and I had the right to fight for my homeland. So every Puerto Rican, don't matter where we are, don't matter where we are, no importa donde estemos, nuestro derecho y nuestro deber es luchar por nuestro territorio nacional, por nuestro hogar patrio, lo que la naturaleza nos dio, que es Puerto Rico.
And so on April 17th, you'll be coming to New York to share with the diaspora in Centro Maestro. What is the importance of that date?
Well, April 16th.
Oh,
April. Was nobody. It's close. April, but I know I'll be there the 17th. But April 16th, it was born Jose de Diego. And also, in 1932, they want to offend, degrade, degradar nuestra bandera puertorriqueña in the capital, the politician. So Albizu Campos and other nationalists assault the capital to defend our flag. The politician still running, probably still running. You know, for the first time, the first nationalist, or the nationalist party died. it was Manuel Rafael Suarez Diaz died at that time, defending our flag. That was April 16, 1932. And in Puerto Rico, we celebrate also the birthday of José de Diego. That's the meaning.
Who's José de Diego?
José de Diego, yeah, that we celebrate the independentistas, early.
No,
celebrate.
¿Quién es José Diego?
He was a Puerto Rican patriot poet. He wrote a lot of poems, beautiful poems. But he was an independent believer and a believer of the Puerto Rican citizenship. I want to make clear, now that I had the opportunity with you here, Camilo, I am a Puerto Rican citizen. I have never accepted the United States citizenship because I don't belong to them. I'm not property of no one. The citizenship that they impose to us is the same one that they impose to the slave when they put their name, change their African name to their white man name. But that don't make them black, white. And the imposing of the United States citizenship, that don't mean a gringo. I'm a Puerto Rican. And they don't have no power whatsoever to change that. I am a Puerto Rican, I'm going to die Puerto Rican. That's why I don't use that passport or nothing like that. I want to make that clear to you too. And I hope that I'll be there in April 17th and share some time with my people. By the way, wherever there is a Puerto Rican, there is my people. Wherever there is a Puerto Rican, in the United States, in Alabama, in China, in Japan, in the moon, he's my people. And she's my people. And that's the one I'm fighting for my whole Puerto Rican nation. We are 8 million of us, no matter where we are.
Thank you, Don Rafa. That was
our
first segment of our show. Thank you, and we hope to see you on April 17th.
Okay, brother. You take good care.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
You see, I'm trying to give the feeling David got in the face of Goliath. Overcoming seemingly insurmountable odds to raise my hand in triumph. Like a Shiite racing through to Creek facing Willie Pete. Or another Puerto Rican being chased by police in Philly streets. My flow is Amazon, really deep. You better look for the nearest lifesaver to grab upon when you hear me speak. Cause if you didn't know, I'm the first shot fired at the Grito de Lares. And plus, I play drums at the Huacaiman Forest. The manifestation, when you tap into Malcolm's imagination, like the bullet that penetrated Lincoln after his pseudo-proclamation, or the offspring of Philly Beto or Heather with a vendetta that can only be settled with this Beretta nestled under my sweater. A M92 or better, a bomb and a letter, detonated on America, the debtor to debtor, cause it won't get better, never. It'll be my pleasure, I go to every measure, cause it's a setup, dead up, raise a letter, ready to go head up and never, ever let up.